And what do you want to look at in the tissue?
So we actually have one of those nanotechnology grants. So what I've been doing in my lab is basically using nanoparticles to better quantify the proteins that we know are important in breast cancer. So we're going to look at certainly a whole pattern of proteins, obviously the usual ones, ERPR and HER2-new using these specimens, but also other ones, obviously including EGFR, which appears to be important in the triple negatives. And then we also hope to do some proteomic analysis to try and work out other proteins essentially that are important in determining response rate on these trials.
Maybe you can explain to somebody who's not too good at basic science how nanoparticles helps you find these proteins.
One of the problems is right now we're kind of developing it, but what we've used basically is nanoparticles called quantum dots, which have been available for quite a long time. And they're obviously very small particles that you can conjugate to antibodies for proteins, essentially. And really the aim of what we're trying to do is to use a very small specimen, like a single section of a cancer, and detect multiple proteins at the same time and quantify them. So there's obviously some teething problems with this, not just with the quantum dots, but also with the microscopy that we need to actually quantify the proteins. But our hope would be that you could perhaps take a breast cancer aspirate and be able to gain information on, you know, up to 100 proteins using these quantum dots on just a single section. But as I say, that this is what we're aiming for. We've got about up to 5 proteins right now in one piece. It's a matter of, I think, automating a lot of what we've done before and making it a little bit more user-friendly.
There's really a major trend, thank God, towards these kinds of research studies. It's too bad it didn't start 20 years ago.
Right.
I mean, I guess you have to have the technology to look at the tissue, but the basic concept of doing something like this really is pretty intuitive. How big does a tumor have to be? I assume you can't use non-palpable tumors, and how big does it need to be in order for you able to do these 2 biopsies you want to do?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, certainly anything over a centimeter we can certainly work with initially. Now, of course, one of the problems with all these pre-op studies is that you do, of course, get some patients who respond so well that you've nothing to look at.
Right.
But, I mean, you always have, obviously, the initial biopsy. At the Emory site, we actually give preoperative chemotherapy for very small cancers on the assumption that the patients are going to do the same, whether you give it before or you give it after. So I would suspect that we will mostly have, from the county hospital, quite large cancers, but I think down at the Emory site, we'll probably have some small cancers too.
Now, this is obtained through fine needle aspiration or core?
Either. I mean, our pathologists do quite a lot of fine needle aspirates at Emory, but out in the community where we're also trying to run this, they will definitely be doing core biopsies. And I expect they'll definitely accrue patients with larger tumors.
How do you find patients responding to this type of trial? Obviously, it's introducing at least 1 extra biopsy, maybe 2. I don't know. How do you find people responding to that?
I think in general they respond very well to it, actually. I mean, the only thing that is extra that they wouldn't have done is the aspirate or the biopsy in the middle of the treatment,
right?
Because they would have had the biopsy done in, sure. In the first thing.
So you're thinking about this when these people walk in the door, basically.
Well, that's right. And they're a bit complicated because obviously the surgeons have to be made aware of the issue. But what we're actually doing with the nanoparticles, you can do in paraffin embedded tissue. So most of our surgeons do freeze tissue, but certainly in the community, they don't always do that.
Is Bill Wood involved in this project, surgery?
Absolutely, yeah. And he's a major proponent of pre-op chemo. So he would be the person that will send you the 1.52 centimeters for chemotherapy. He's also very interested in the whole tissue acquisition thing. So to have somebody like him spearheading it, in fact, but all our surgeons are really very interested in it. And obviously having a county hospital, there's lots of patients down there that need pre-op chemo.
Again, how do the patients respond to being involved with this type of research?
I think they respond very well. You know, I think anytime you're trying to do a phase 2 study, they're always going to wonder, well, how does it differ from the standard of care? But because we're going away from using anthracyclines a little bit, as we were talking about earlier, I think it actually makes a trial like this much easier to sell. And I think one thing you could think about doing is giving them an anthracycline after their chemo if you wanted to, because there's still that big question out there about whether patients that have residual disease need more therapy or not.
We've been doing more and more surveys of patients with different kinds of tumors. We find a lot of interest in research. I mean, that's basically why a lot of people go in clinical trials. And I think this kind of research makes sense to a patient. You know, we want to look inside your tumor while we give you these
Absolutely.
Drugs.
I think they want to know as much as anybody else why a drug works or doesn't work for them or anybody else.